robot. That study was done last year. And by the way,
think of how high selling the Fleshlight is.
If you said to an average guy, hey, you can have sex with something, it feels like a real person, and you don't have to deal with their nagging, talking to them, or anything, emotional feelings.
Unless it's what they're programmed to do, which you paid for.
When you're done with it, you shut it off.
Think about how popular the Fleshlight is. The Fleshlight's one of the highest selling sex toys for men on the market for the exact reason, number one, it's discreet. Number two, you don't have to talk to it, but it doesn't talk back.
But here's the thing. I hate that, by the way.
You guys are jerks, inventors of the Fleshlight.
And this is where WMFO Medford, we start getting into these weird ethical questions, because you can't compare this to a vibrator. You can't compare this to a Fleshlight. This is...
like a real simulation.
This is... We're not even talking about inflatable love dolls anymore.
No, it's a real person stimulated incident.
Yeah. Move. Okay, these have artificial intelligence that replicates the reactions and the words that a human being would use. This is a simulacrum of a human being.
See, this is why I say it starts getting into murky waters, because you have a company that is purposely creating a product that is now being created for the purpose of stimulating rape, or stimulating a situation where it is non-consensual, where it is forced environment. That is in textbook black and white rape.
But there are plenty of couples not promoting it, but creating it. And here's the thing. There are plenty of couples who enjoy rape fantasy play.
That's true. And this is my other point, is that, as you said, absolutely. This is why, like Lisa said, this is very murky, is that on the one hand, yes, it could be practice for the actual thing. On the other hand, it could be a potential rapist's methadone. You know, like, it could be the thing that gets that out in a way that doesn't harm an actual human being.
A serial rapist is going to use this three times and then throw it away and then start raping.
Think about people who have already been to jail for rape, who are now registered sex offenders, who are every day trying to resist this urge, and a lot of them can't. It could be just a slight...
No, absolutely not.
Well, I'm not saying I'd like to see... I'd like to wait and see, because obviously I don't want to wait and see if men that use this then go out and rape women, but it is an interesting...
It's like if you have a serial murderer. I mean, Charles Manson, you give him a doll so he can stab to get out of jail. It's not the real thing.
Like, I'm not saying once they are out of jail, I'm saying that it could... I'm not saying it's going to fix them, but I'm saying that it, much like...
The question in my eyes becomes, because they've already said, like in the United Kingdom, they've already said you can't make a child sex robot.
That's a very good point.
But
as well,
this skirts the same exact line.
But this is the thing, like, who is defining this? At where does society even begin to claim the right?
Well, and that's the difference.
To tell somebody what kind of robot that you can own, because that's what it is.
But that's the difficulty with any. Sex robot or otherwise, with any new form of technology, it's to put kind of a mirrored situation. It's the same with online bullying. It's that there are so many. It's so difficult to define what is and is not, because this is a brand new concept. Yeah. This is something we have no precedent for.
If they tried to make a robot and called it a midget, where clearly you, I, or Shay could look at it and say, no, that's a child. They're like, no, it's just a really little person.
A little adult.
It's a small, it's just right there at like 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
Come on. But society understands
but it's like,
the purpose of it.
Let's say I went out and got a doll that was built like you, Lisa, is that going to pass as an adult sex robot, or is somebody going to look at that and be like, oh, that's a 14-year-old? Because you're petite.
14-year-olds don't have boobs that big, Derek.
They did where I grew up.
Guys,
anyway,
you should see what I'm saying.
I actually did have these.
Yeah.
I was going to say, now that that came out of my mouth, and I was like, no, you were totally one of those early bloomers that I hated.
Yeah, and it's like, so what's our...
I didn't need a bra
until
I was like 16 years
like,
old.
What decides what is a child sex robot? There's a lot of very thorny questions here.
And I do think that the point you made earlier is important is that I it's not true. I have dated guys who are into it, which is why I didn't date them very long. But there are men and women who are into the whole simulated rape fantasy thing. And there are people who will never actually commit rape, that's why safe words exist. That's why, like, you know, that's the whole thing. And that's, and again, see, that's, I guess that was more my point, is maybe not for serial rapists, but for somebody who has that tendency and is maybe not great with the ladies, hasn't found his yin to his yang yet. This could be a great way for him to let out that impulse without letting it be brought to what will result in an actual rape. It could be a good deterrent for someone who's maybe not someone who just has the urge to go out and ruin one out of four women's... Is it one out of four or one out of three now? I feel like it keeps going up. But one out of four or three women's lives, not ruin, but greatly mar, to just letting out the sexual impulse that they have without any harm done.
Here's the bottom...
Except, you know, to their bank account.
Bottom line on this is, no matter what a government or a society or anybody tells a programmer or a product manufacturer to do, they can comply with every single rule that's laid down. If the product does not behave the way that a certain number of buyers want it to behave, somebody will find a way to write the code to make it do that. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to have sex robots, you're going to have rapeable sex robots. Somebody will go out and write a software package. Here, put this USB in your sex robot, and now you can rape your sex robot all night long. Wasn't built to do that, but it does it now. This happens with every kind of technology that's out there. You know, everything from ATM card skimmers to mods in video games.
Even back in the days of, what were those stupid little things that, Lisa, when we were kids, the eggs that you had to take care of?
Tamagotchi.
There were people...
Tamagotchi.
We called him Tamagotchi.
There were people...
I respect the Japanese, so I pronounce it correctly.
Oh, you North Shore buttheads. But there were people who found ways to hack into that to make it do different things.
Yeah.
Like that simple, an electronic device. I mean, if you can do it with a stupid little egg you had to keep alive. I killed mine constantly, by the way.
How to feed them.
Yeah. I always forgot.
My favorite.
This is why I don't, and nor will I ever have children.
My favorite was a knockoff called Tamagothy that you had to keep giving it heroin instead of food.
It's so funny.
There's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather.
Someday they'll actually label things around here so that I can figure out how they operate. Your Boston 5-day forecast tonight, muggy.
You don't say.
Lows about 70. Don't try sleeping tonight unless you got a block of ice or an air conditioner. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, humid, highs in the upper 80s, and then the thunderstorms are going to come blowing in late afternoon. You know the deal, kids. Hot, humid day. You're going to get thunderstorms between 3 in the afternoon and 8 o'clock at night, depending on where you are, so keep an eye out for those. Some of them could be gusty, downpours, hail, all the sorts of things that we get with these weather patterns. And then tomorrow night, it stays in the 70s. Friday, humidity comes down a little bit. High in the 80s, a low of about 70 on Friday night. Saturday, showers early in the day, and then the sun returns. Highs in the mid-80s, lower humidity. Hooray. And temperatures falling into the mid-60s on Saturday night. So couple days of summer swelter, and then you get a little bit of relief. And early next week, looking like a little bit cooler. No,
I'm saying right now.
Like right now.
Oh, right now, yeah. The kind of weather that is beloved by Italians and tomatoes. It is WMFO Medford.
She's sad.
Ontel Mikey D is coming up at 9 o'clock tonight. Everything you need to know about the Boston music scene, stick around for that. Our telephone number, 855-915-9636. And when we come back, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention this week?
I'm Sarah Beck for the U.S. Department of Agriculture with a quiz. Round steak is considered a good economy cut. True or false? True. Round steak is not quite as tender and juicy as some other cuts, but it has very little waste and can be made tender. Let the USDA quality grades be your guide to the right cooking method. For more free information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
To the Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Shea Spillane. Derek Gary here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. As always, we want you to be a part of the show, and you can do that by calling us at 855-915-9636. It's our time of the show. We call Did You Hear? Where Derek, Shea, and I quiz each other on all those other stories that made really hot topics in this week's news.
I went out with my coworkers last night and got destroyed. Okay.
That's just, why just, you're just a bit subdued.
Just so everybody knows, I got destroyed last night.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a little like
fuzzy.
I'm on autopilot.
Where did you go?
Tonight.
I was saying, I was supposed to lead in. What's up with you, D?
Hooters.
Of course you went to Hooters.
It's next to the office.
Was it wing night?
No.
Any of our listeners, do you find it insane that he actually keeps two female co-hosts? Like, is this like the most impressive thing you've ever seen?
It is the closest bar to the office. It's where people go.
Sure, sure.
I can't believe you went out with coworkers.
I'm not.
I was going to say, I feel like that's more shocking than that he went to Hooters.
I know. The whole thing is a giant travesty. And, you know.
All right.
So there we go. Shay, we'll let you bring in.
I don't care.
What's hot? How's that?
It's fine.
As always.
So what do you got, Lise?
Alfred Angelo.
Alfred Angelo.
Nothing? Something?
Is that the, that's not the Ted Bundy victim, or not, not Ted Bundy, the other guy.
Nope.
John Wayne Gacy.
Nope.
Alfred Angelo. Oh, that's the bridal shop.
Yes,
I was just going to say.
Shut down all of its locations last Thursday.
All I knew is that sounds like a store or brand or something.
It is.
They just unexpectedly, boom, hey, we're closed. Sorry.
No
bridesmaid dresses for you at the height of wedding season.
Yeah, Alfred Angelo, Florida-based bridal shop.
Of course it's
Florida-based. Apparently shut down, I know, without telling its customers. The move, this was brides-to-be across the country, many who had already put down hundreds of dollars for deposits on wedding and bridesmaid dresses. So we're talking about 2,500 stores around the world, 60 stores in the United States, just closed their doors. Sorry.
And
sorry, kids.
And again, I only knew that this was a thing. I did not know the story. Are they holding all the outstanding orders? Just like,
well, the stores are locked.
Hostage?
The stuff's in there. You just can't get it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yowza. Okay. Mine. Chris Christie.
He caught a fly ball yesterday. And
then what happened?
And then he got booed by entire Met Stadium.
Yes.
You suck.
Yes, he was able to snag a Paul DeJong foul ball at the top of the third inning, and it wasn't on the fly. It was on a carom off of the protective netting behind home plate. He did give the ball away to another fan, but that did not stop the entirety of Citi Field from faithfully booing him.
I'm always surprised when I can see a man that size show the reflexes and athleticism to play a professional sport.
He actually didn't move from the seat. His just large body was
I would say it probably like ricochets off his boob that
he
was bigger
such
than
a
mine.
Mass
and
that it just.
And the thing is, it does slow it down. Like, I've watched the crew off of the net before, and it does slow it down. Like, just physics-wise, it slows it down significantly.
But you remember those guys that used to catch the cannonballs in their stomachs? There is a certain point where your body density changes, and you actually absorb an item.
Oh, yeah.
Rather
so we're comparing Chris Christie to Houdini now?
Rather than have... No, Houdini didn't do that.
That is
he wasn't
the first
big
time
enough.
That's ever happened in history.
He got, like... That's what killed him. Punch to the stomach.
Yeah, but that was a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the cannonball guys, right? This used to be a...
That's real. That's a thing.
This used to be a fairground act. Yeah. And they
I thought there was a trick to that.
And they were inevitably... Well, the trick to it was you'd be a big fat guy and just absorb the impact of the cannonball.
Mm.
That was the trick to it.
Well, I, you know what?
I really
good
am in the
Chris
wrong
Christie,
business.
That made it off of the closed beaches that he apparently is one of the only people that can access in New Jersey. So good for him.
You want to use sucks. The beaches? Become the governor.
God, that guy's the worst.
Measles.
Mumps and rubella?
No, I know this. What was the story? Oh, this is going to kill me. Somebody got measles. There's like 1K something. Ah! I forget. Help me out.
If you were at Hampton Beach on July 9th...
Yes, there was one person that was walking around Hampton, yes,
if
that
you,
had measles.
If you were at Hampton Beach on July 9th, New Hampshire state health officials would like you to keep an eye out for spots because somebody with measles visited
yes.
not just the beach, but... several locations. They're not telling us which several
spot.
Locations,
mm-hmm.
but basically assume that if you went anywhere indoors or on the beach, on Hampton Beach on July 9th, you were exposed to measles. If you've had the vaccine, you have marginally less to worry about, but still, if you were at Hampton Beach on July 9th, keep an eye out for spots.
Yeah, I think the article I read was measles walk around Hampton Beach. And I'm like, isn't
yeah.
that every day?
Measles. No. That's chlamydia. There's a difference.
I was going to say, I think more like chlamydia, maybe the rogue genital wart.
Yeah.
All right. Catholic choir Germany. Or German Catholic choir.
Oh, no. I knew this one. I definitely read about this, and I can't think of... It might be in my things. Nope, gone completely.
They weren't at one of those gay sex orgies at the Vatican, the secretary's apartment, were they?
Nope.
You wish.
That might be the explanation for what happened.
Is it sad that that's the first thing I think of is, oh, gay sex orgy in the Vatican. Yeah, cool.
I mean, once you get gay sex orgy at the Vatican in your brain, it's kind of hard to kick it out of there.
Between that and the wafers, got to be...
They cannot be gluten-free wafers.
Were they serving gluten-free wafers? What did the choir do?
Well, yesterday a report came out showing that more than 500 boys at a Catholic choir school in Germany were physically and sexually abused by teachers in the past. So 500 boys, this is something.
Is that in one summer, or is this over a period of time?
Over a period of time.
I would say if it's in one summer,
Roman
Jesus
Christ. Roman Catholic Church, obviously, we know, especially here in Boston, has dealt with years after years of allegations of sexual abuse of children. So this is between the mid-40s and the early 90s, essentially what happened. You had...
Oh, so 50 years we're talking about. Okay.
But you also had priests that were staying. Everything was brushed under the rug. There had... been multiple reports throughout the years, and again bishops just turn the other eye.
Not good. The communion wafers were gluten free. Yeah,
so at least they were very carbo loaded when all of this happened.
Is there like any...
Sorry, that was a terrible thing to say.
I'm waiting for the point where the Catholic Church just goes through everything. Between like the 50s and the early 2000s.
Like, has a priest gotten inexplicably pregnant despite being a man yet? Because that's like the only thing left.
Every country, every organization, every monastery, every school, every place that they've been, and they're like, this is all of the sexual abuse that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just this constant like drip, drip, drip that we're getting about it. Because it was Ireland a couple of years ago. Now it's Australia. Now it's the choir boys camp. And it's like, guys, this happened everywhere. Just stop hiding it. Just put it all out there. Let's punish those who we can still punish. Make reparations to those who qualify. And move the church out of the era of pedophile abuse.
And maybe let, not saying like a pedophile is going to be a pedophile, but a big argument, like that's a big argument, like having been Catholic formerly in that other life I lived, that was a big argument when all of this broke, was just that this is one of the reasons that we should let priests marry, is because they've got all this pent up sexual.
Yeah. No, that's a nonsense argument, because...
Or the fact that you become a priest to give yourself to God. Crazy, don't become a priest.
Also, yeah. Also a nonsense argument. I've been...
Think about prison, though. There are men who would never have sex with another man that just out of sheer sexualist frustration do.
I've been trying to...
Especially the pretty ones.
I've been trying to convince people to let go of those conclusions for almost 20 years now.
How's that going?
The more public school teachers who get picked up, married public school teachers, female public school teachers, male public school teachers, the more public school teachers who get picked up for having sex with their underage students, the more we realize... There was nothing special going on in the Catholic Church. There was no higher concentration of pedophiles.
They just are what they are.
They just moved those guys around, which, by the way, is the same thing the public schools did.
Exactly.
From the 50s until the 1990s.
A lot of your private schools did the exact same thing.
Move them away. Get them out of here. Don't talk about it. Pay out a little money if you have to. Although the church didn't want to pay out any money, which is where they really went wrong. But this is a problem in all walks of life. So just because it's a priest doesn't mean, or the Catholics, doesn't mean you're any more or less likely to have pedophiles or pedophile priests. Mm-hmm. Just going on all over the place. The Catholic Church kept their mouths shut about it and went to some extreme lengths to conceal it if you buy into what is said in the movie The Believers, which is on Netflix right now.
Well, you sweep enough stuff under the rug, you're sooner or later you're going to trip over that giant lump.
Yeah.
Okay, my turn. Jeffrey Payne.
Is he the... not Ted Bundy.
That's Jeffrey Dahmer that you're thinking of.
Oh, so this isn't that victim that they identified.
This has absolutely nothing about serial killers.
All right.
Please?
The name sounds familiar.
I'm going to say, it's probably a story you read, but I'm purposely being vague because I never stump both of you. I can add a hint if you like.
A little bit.
Texas.
No.
Derek, anything?
No.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced his bid for re-election Friday in San Antonio, but he wasn't alone. Also on Friday, wealthy Dallas businessman Jeffrey Payne, who owns the city's popular gay leather bar, The Eagle, filed as a Democratic candidate for the governor's race. Payne, who won the title of International Mr. Leather in 2009, nice. Plans to lend two...
He has my vote.
I want to be a citizen of Texas just for this. Plans to lend $2.5 million of his own money to his gubernatorial campaign. The announcement was timed just a few days before the start of a special legislative session yesterday that Abbott called partially an attempt to pass a quote-unquote bathroom bill that would require transgender people to use restrooms matching the sex listed on their birth certificates. In a statement, Payne said, Texans are tired of Abbott wasting time on quote-unquote trivial legislation.
What does this guy look like? Has he got?
I am so rooting for this guy. It's not like this is exactly what Texas needs.
I would
needs.
Only vote for him if he were.
But what does this guy look like? Has he got like the porn stash and the leather cap? Because it's
Nobody
wears leather caps anymore. Dad.
Oh, Mr. Leather does. Mr. Leather, absolutely.
It's
judged.
All about the chaps. It's 2017.
I produced a Mr. Leather concert.
He's super, super attractive.
Like, I'm sure he is.
Hang on. Let me. This is his picture. I believe from when he won Mr. Leather.
Oh yeah. That's see, you should have the leather cap on, though.
He's wearing a leather slack. Leather sash, attractive. Rather.
I know, but
yeah,
it's like...
no, that's not a good picture.
I want leather everywhere.
No.
He's attractive for an older man who owns a leather fetish gay bar.
Nope.
Like, he... Lisa, you just don't understand the way gay men think.
Yeah,
like
you
do.
Don't.
You didn't spend enough time at theater camp, okay?
I mean, the leather vest...
No, see, he looks hot in this one, too. Look at the leather vest.
The leather vest is so cliche. Like, you can do better than that.
But look how he looks in it. Look at the hair peeking out.
I know,
out the
but
chest.
It's like you can do better than that.
It's
get
the
cap.
Man meat.
I mean, yeah, but if you're, I mean, it's his genre though. He owns a leather bar. You're gonna do the quintessential leather thing. But no, I think this, especially because, I mean, theoretically, Texas is a lot of our where our leather comes from.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, he's definitely enhancing their economy. He's, you know, it, I say, go Jeffrey Payne. Jeffrey Payne, 2018.
Nice. I'm in. Buffalo.
Buffalo are on the loose in New Hampshire.
Were. Yeah, Guilford, New Hampshire had an invasion of 16 yep. buffalo yesterday. Their owner, there's a farm near Guilford that raises buffalo. Owner believes they got spooked by some construction and ran off. It took the police most of the afternoon to get them back onto the farm, herding them with their cruisers. And apparently the buffalo did not enjoy it and occasionally charged at the police cruisers.
That sounds about right. Well, that's what I remember when I was in Utah. I went to Antelope Island, which is beautiful. If you're ever in Salt Lake City, it's a little ways out of the city, but oh my goodness, is it worth it? But it was not very aptly named because I think I saw maybe one antelope. I saw 50 buffalo. And they do not like anything to do with people.
They don't like anything.
They do not like humans or anything that moves other than themselves.
But they taste delicious.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, they do. Have you ever had a buffalo burger?
Oh, so good. So, no. You know what you do? You just take some bison steaks, chuck them on the grill. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yum.
Yum.
All right, last one from me. I might pronounce this wrong. Calibri Bont.
I think it's Calibri.
Calibri Bont.
Well, that means you know what she's talking about.
No, I know how it's pronounced.
This is a really interesting story. Derek, I'm so surprised you're not getting this.
I was out last night.
This was actually on Monday.
Yeah, I everything I learned on Monday was obliterated at Hooters last night. Okay? Mm-hmm. I surrender.
Shay? Pakistani Prime Minister could lose his job because of the font. So last year, the Panama Papers, which we talked so many times on this show, were leaked. There are millions of documents that outed high-profile people being shady to avoid taxes. Of course, there were some Clinton Foundation things on there. So what's the story about? Last week, investigators accused the family, the prime minister's family, of forgery and hiding their financials, but they say it's not true. The daughter, who also has political ambitions that is supposed to be running, she said that she gave investigators an 06 document, which says proves that she didn't own any of these properties. These are all properties in Europe and the United States. But it turns out that the document was typed in this specific font, which actually didn't come out in Microsoft Office until 2007.
Oh, you burnt.
Wow.
Whoops.
Wow.
Oh, I do love...
This is why I love this story, because your stupidity.
And this is why you always use Arial or Times New Roman.
Dumb.
Whoopsies.
Dumb.
My goodness. Dumb. Yeah, that is like getting...
I love that somebody picked up on that, though.
I was going to say, that is excellent investigative detection.
Gives me happy feels.
Oh my goodness, that is fantastic. Okay, Singapore marriage annulment.
I got nothing on that.
Nope.
Singapore, this story made me really mad. Singapore has annulled a couple's marriage after the spouse's sex reassignment surgery, prompting an outcry from a group that campaigns for the rights of gay and transgender people. Same-sex marriage is not recognized in the wealthy city-state, and laws on homosexuality and sex between males can mean a prison sentence, though prosecutions are rare. The couple, who were not identified in the report released by the Straits Times, ironically named, not the same spelling, were married in 2015, and the husband subsequently underwent gender reassignment surgery. They continued to live together and be engaged in a relationship as a married couple.
Nope.
But the authorities learned of their change of circumstances when they applied to buy a government apartment. Married couples get price concessions on government housing in Singapore, and subsequently the Registry of Marriages declared their marriage void, and the couple were told that they no longer qualified for the concessionary price available to married couples.
Yep, that's Singapore. Mm-hmm. That's Singapore. Singapore tells you how long your hair can be if you're a man.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Singapore is a country that was born out of a decades-long conflict with China. and it still maintains a very militaristic mentality.
Oh, yeah.
So forget it. You shouldn't have done that in the first place. You're in Singapore.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, go somewhere else. It's still, it's just frustrating. Well, like I was saying when we were speaking about the government of Saudi Arabia earlier, it's just frustrating that it's 2017 and we have, at least in my eyes, these in the world right now, right at this second, we have these outdated and entirely unfair. These are two people who love each other. These two people who are married, who stayed married. Think of how many marriages break up after someone has gender reassignment surgery. They stayed married. As like that's it, whether it be for financial or actual romantic reasons.
Take it
reasons.
To Thailand. Mm-hmm. But, take it to Thailand. They will welcome
but
you with
no,
open
I
arms.
Mean, I knew that about Singapore, though, because I remember I was taught, I have a friend who actually is from Singapore who came to America for many similar reasons.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'd really love to go there someday. It looks like a really interesting place. And he was like, you can't go there.
Yeah.
I was like, why? He's like, they will look at your history of like...
You smoked marijuana.
Wanting to pot to be legalized.
Done.
You will not be allowed in that country.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
principality or whatever
so
we're supposed
sorry.
To call it.
They run like FBI level background checks on anybody who tries
really?
To get in there.
Yeah.
And if you do not meet their standards for what a good citizen should be.
Which you don't.
You ain't coming. Singapore.
Whatever. I'll go hang out in Thailand and the Philippines and flip Singapore the bird from across the sea.
I don't think you can smoke in Singapore.
No, you can't.
You can't litter.
You can't litter to the point of like here it's like, oh, if a cop's being a jerk, maybe you'll get a fine. There it's like you litter, you go to jail.
You drop a piece of litter on the ground and you're gonna have 20 Singaporeans surround you until the police show up and throw you in jail. Yeah. It is also a beautiful,
and safe, culturally rich. I would say it's one of the safest places in the world.
And prosperous country.
Mm-hmm.
But
what I find hilarious is that Anthony Bourdain, I don't know if you've ever seen the show The Layover. It's fantastic. Those of you who haven't, totally watch it. Even if you don't like Anthony Bourdain, it's just incredibly interesting. But he has like a limited amount of hours in a certain city or area. And
I let him in.
And that's exactly what I was going to say is that's kind of how I get turned on to Singapore.
If you're walking in with a camera crew, they'll let you in.
He spent 20 hours there and I was sitting there being like, how did Anthony Bourdain not get arrested in 20 hours in Singapore?
Yeah.
But he also is incredibly greatly respected throughout the...
Yeah, throughout the world. Yeah.
World and culinary...
He's probably got a minder with him the whole time saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other thing, you can't say that.
He actually did.
They don't like swearing.
He had a resident being like, so this is how we're going to do this.
Yeah, yeah. Not one of those places you just drop into and behave like an American. oh boy, these are both good. I'm going to have to save one of these for next week. Masturbation. Just because masturbation.
Is the best.
Yeah.
Masturbation.
Say it again, masturbation.
There has been an increase
no.
in masturbation.
Is good for you?
No, not in this case.
Clears the head. Yes.
Is bad for you?
What about masturbation?
Could keep O.J. Simpson in prison.
Yes. No.
After he was caught in an act of onanism by a female guard.
Yep.
Masturbation is forbidden in our federal prisons.
Oh my God. Can he get stupider? Dude, you got away
second.
With murder.
Stop.
And you still ended up in jail.
Why is masturbation illegal in our federal prisons? Isn't this creating a ripe environment for unwanted butt sex?
Mm-hmm.
Is that not like
that's true.
What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You can't masturbate in a federal prison? What committing a crime suspends your right to masturbation?
What if
no.
he was just touching it?
Yeah, what if he
hard?
Just had an itch that was like really itchy, really
I got a feeling
quickly.
He was in full like oh yeah. OJ's
like
running.
You could camp under there.
OJ's running for the end zone. OJ's running for the end zone.
I think theoretically, I agree, like that would is stupid in almost every sense, but I think probably why it's in place is because one inmate seeing another inmate masturbate could rile some things up.
I don't know.
There are people, as we spoke about earlier, everyone gets off on different things. That's it's very possible that that could lead to some.
I can see. You shouldn't be like waving the thing around in your cell. You know, like do it under the blankets or like do it so you can't
unless
be seen.
You're doing the Apache, in which case I imagine it's unavoidable.
OJ's parole hearing is coming up at the end of this week, and one of the people who he burst into the hotel room with the gun on is going to testify that OJ should stay in jail. I'm guessing this female guard will say, yeah, he masturbates. Keep him behind bars. WMFO Medford, when we come back, another way that America's low-paid fast food workers are getting screwed and why something probably ought to be done about it here on WMFO Medford.
Times, but they're the only times I've ever known. And I believe there is a time for meditation in cathedrals of our own. Now I have seen that sad surrender in my lover's eyes. I can only stand apart and sympathize. Hand us, it's either sadness or euphoria. So we'll argue and we'll compromise, or realize that nothing's ever changed. Separate conclusions are the same. Now we are forced to recognize our inhumanity. Our reason coexists with our insanity. So we choose between reality and madness. It's either sadness or euphoria. Either sadness or euphoria.
Nothing. Well, kind of nothing. I think the condom might have broken.
Broken?
Yeah, this is not good.
Okay, relax.
Relax? I mean, what are the chances of that? It's like...
Surreal?
Yeah. This isn't supposed to happen. We're being responsible here.
Okay, well, don't panic.
Don't panic? How can you say that?
Being responsible means having a backup plan, like emergency contraception, or EC for short. When you begin taking EC within 72 hours, it could prevent pregnancy. It's not an abortion pill and it won't prevent HIV or other STDs, but it's a great backup plan.
It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be fine.
What? I thought you'd be the one to freak.
Well, I've got EC.
Oh. Oh, no, that's just great. What's EC?
For more information or to get EC in advance, ask your healthcare provider or call 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE. That's 1-888-NOT-2-LATE. EC, because shit happens, brought to you by the Pacific Institute for Women's Health.
Beep. Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear. I was about to start up my ATV on a trail near a bunch of dry brush, and Smokey told me that was dangerous because one spark can start a wildfire.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
No kidding.
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
Kidding. Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Die, son, you gotta work late.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, but there ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
WMFO Medford breaking news. CNN is reporting that Senator John McCain, we all know that he went into the hospital to have what they said was a blood clot removed, has actually been diagnosed with glioblastoma.
Yikes.
Which is an aggressive form of brain cancer. It is the same form of brain cancer that Ted Kennedy succumbed to a few years back.
And just got all the text alerts.
Doctors are saying that Senator McCain, the tissue was removed during the procedure last week. He is resting comfortably at home, and they are now looking into follow-up care that may include radiation and chemotherapy. So we'll see if Senator McCain continues in his role. This is a guy who's been fighting skin cancer his whole life.
I was going to say, he has just never gotten a break, has he?
He's tough. I mean, his mom's still alive, so, you know.
I mean, there are a lot of people who, like, the worst thing that happens to them is being at the Hanoi Hilton.
Yeah.
And then he just keeps getting dealt.
Yeah. So, Senator John McCain diagnosed.
I'm not a huge fan of his politics, but no one deserves all this.
Diagnosed with brain cancer. Wishing him a speedy recovery. Yeah. And
best of luck, John McCain.
And remission. So, Lisa.
Yes. All right. Shame, Derek. Imagine this. You have a job. You don't work on salary. You work pretty much, get paid by the hour, and you get paid as much as you work. So imagine
you have a job on the radio. You don't get paid at all.
Doesn't that sound terrible, audience?
Gee, how many times have we done that?
You are supposed to go. I know, right? You were supposed to go into work at 4 o'clock, and you get a phone call at, say, noon. And you find out that you aren't needed at night for work. So what happens? You don't get paid. You're losing maybe, what, $50, $60, $70, depending. Unfortunately, this is a crisis that is happening over and over again.
Can we not call everything a crisis? This is an issue.
An issue.
It's. I'm sure for some people it's a crisis, but crisis
it's
is
a crisis
like,
for the person that can.
You know what a crisis? The nuclear weapons are about to go off. That's a crisis.
That is.
This is.
Those are the bums.
This an annoyance.
This is a form of equestrian body wear. Also known as a horse shirt. This is a horse shirt situation that is taking place. Not just at fast food restaurants, but also retail locations all around the country.
Unfortunately, as I pointed out, this is a common occurrence and drawback of working in the service industry and these longer hours, low wages, retail being the same. Now, later this year, New York City will have a law that goes into effect requiring restaurant employers to give their employees scheduling 2 weeks in advance and to pay a premium, as they call it, or extra pay if they are canceling or putting their employees on call. Now, if I'm lucky enough, we're in my job in the service industry, I am guaranteed all closing shifts because I've been there for very long and I'm also very good at my job. There are many people that are put in certain sections that may get cut in the wintertime, which equates to $0. You're physically actually entering. My company pays you for 2 hours, 4 hours, even though you make $0. Mm. Not at the normal bartender or server pay. You get paid as if you were training. So it's, you know, maybe about $9 more. You don't see any of it anyways. Taxes. But this is something that is going into effect. Many states across the country are jumping on board, New York being one. And Reuters had a great article in kind of portraying just the life of somebody living in this and how it affects somebody. And as I said, it can affect you just by one day of $50, $60, $70 of your pay cut. But when we see and only using the service industry or fast food restaurants, as we're seeing a continual decline in them, in many of them. So, in turn, less employees or less shifts needed or less busy it is.
This is a management practice developed by people wearing horse shirts in the 1970s. therefore, it is a horse shirt practice where.
Way to sidestep that landmine, Dave.
You can use analytics to basically say, we're not going to be busy, so send people home. Well, okay, that may be good for your bottom line. This is one of these profits before people kind of policies. It may be good for your bottom line, but for the person who's living or attempting to live on a salary of, you know, $9, $10 an hour, taking an eight-hour shift away from them is crippling.
Well, and the on the flip side of that too, the funny thing about this is that they can just at like Lisa said, maybe noon, 4 hours notice, sometimes even less, can have this money pulled out from under them. But God forbid something happens, they get sick, they get in a car accident, someone close to them gets sick, something like that.
Whoa, it is completely
unacceptable to take that time off.
Stop. You can't get sick if you're poor in the United States. You have to go to work.
Oh, I'm aware.
Illness is for the rich. Okay,
if you our listeners know what Lisa and I do during the day.
If you have sick days, that's a sign of wealth in this country.
But well, that's the thing though, is that it's ironic that
it's much like smoking.
It's ironic that it's like, oh well, we can very easily tell you that you're not making this money, but if something actually happens in your life, that you're willing to sacrifice the money because it's that worth it to you. It's that necessary. Oh, screw you. You might get fired. You're going to get reprimanded. You're going to have your pay docked. You're going to get less shifts as a result, as a punishment. You're going to ABCDEFG. And I've had all of these things happen to me as a result. Like I've worked in restaurants on and off since I was 17 years old. And the rule, obviously it's different than working at a McDonald's, but at the same time, the rule is you get your shift covered or you come in. Unless you are bleeding to death and need to go to the emergency room, you get your shift covered or you come in.
Yeah.
And these are all the same establishments that would text me on the morning of a shift and say, it's going to be dead.
Don't have to come in today. Bye.
Which the only difference with that in terms of working at a server wage tips based position as opposed to say a fast food place where it's minimum wage based is if they know it's going to be dead, I don't want to go in because I'm getting paid $3.50 an hour. This is and 5 years ago I was getting paid
$200 to get me out of bed.
Yeah. three years ago, when I previously lived in Massachusetts, I was getting paid $2.63 an hour. Mm-hmm. If I have no tables because of taxes, I am literally paying to work.
Right.
Paying to sit around and do nothing.
And I feel so bad when I have fellow employees paying to come into work because they need to spend $40 for parking across the street because there are only a total of 10 parking spaces now in the Seaport. The thing is, these changes in these cities are great because they are well-intended. They're essentially passing laws to give fast food workers more of a predictable schedule, more of that guaranteed paycheck. But from a perspective of franchise owner, the challenge of this well-intended part really becomes their consequences to that.
Can I tell you, I don't care anymore. I don't want to hear it. And if you are a franchise owner who can't give your people regular hours and make the business work, then get out of the business because it's going under eventually. I get it. I understand. Tight margins. Raise your prices. That's what any other business owner in any other situation would do.
But unfortunately, with many franchise owners, you can't raise the prices because it has to go from the corporate level.
I would say because they're placed at a corporate level. So
then get out.
Then sell it to somebody.
This has been one of my biggest things with... And I still will stand on talking about a significant raise in the minimum wage. Yes, we can do 14, we can do 15 an hour. But I have always maintained my stance on that these jobs were never intended to make a living wage. When you say, Well, the fast food workers, somebody that works at McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, can't afford. They live below the poverty level. Well, these jobs were never intended to be full-time and support a family of four. They weren't.
And you
they
and
were
I...
Meant, they were meant for I teeny. Grew up, my mother worked her butt off. She didn't work in fast food, but she did everything she could. If she needed to get a second job, she would have to support the life that she gave me.
You and I used to entirely agree on this point. Mm-hmm. But I need to point out that I have a heart. And
really?
Yes. And compassion.
I am far more compassionate than you, and you know it.
I'm staying out of this one, folks.
You don't want to go into that argument with
They're
me at all. You really don't want to go into that argument with me. Anyway, to get back to the point of having a heart and being a decent...
That's her tavern after the show.
Having a heart and being a decent human being, unlike my co-host.
Hey.
The living wage argument falls... Not you, the other one.
I thought you said that plurally.
The living wage argument...
Think you have a heart, though.
The living wage argument falls down when it becomes the only job that's available. And that's where my thinking on all of this shifted a few years ago. Because if you live in the city... The only jobs that are available to you pay minimum wage, unless you have a college education or a training in a particular skill. If you're just high school graduate, I need a job, minimum wage is all you got.
You can come work in my restaurant and we're paying slightly above minimum wage. So now you have two jobs that pay you slightly above minimum wage, which can give you a full equal.
So you tell me how many people from the hood in Dorchester and Mattapan are working in your upscale seafood restaurant.
All right, do you want me to name all the people? Because we actually have a significant amount. To the point where I have people that will not be dropped off by Ubers or cab because they live in such a bad part of Dorchester that cabbies will not drop them off there. So yes, we do hire people of all.
Backing Lisa up, I work at a country club and two of my favorite of the most skilled coworkers are from Brockton and the Irish part of Dorchester.
So yeah, we're not shutting the doors to...
Brockton's a nice town. The parts of Brockton are bad, but Brockton's a nice town.
I lived in Dorchester.
Dorchester. There are parts of Dorchester are really nice too.
But you said Dorchester.
No, I said Mattapan. Did I say Dorchester? I think I said Roxbury and Mattapan. I might have said Dorchester and Mattapan.
There are nice parts of Roxbury too.
Roxbury, Mattapan. How many people have you got working over there total?
There's a good amount that. People that live in very, very bad neighborhoods.
Well, how many people total work at your establishment? 100, 200?
Total? Maybe 250, 300?
Okay, so 300 people. 300. So let's assume you've added 300 jobs in the city of Boston, mm-hmm. okay?
Which
what about the other
in the city of Boston.
What about the other half a million people who need jobs?
But
there's
that's
half a million
one,
people that need
I would
jobs
say, but
in
that's
Boston.
One restaurant
yes.
of the thousands.
No, that's the people that choose not to work because they
don't want to.
We're
going
to get into that argument.
No, it's not. We're not getting into that argument. I am saying that there are people that your restaurant won't hire, okay, either because somebody better has come along, someone better trained or whatever.
The restaurant industry in Boston, and especially every single city in the United States, is so incredibly desperate because the supply is so low. So incredibly low. Everything from hosts to servers to bartenders to bar backs to dishwashers to every night cleaners. Restaurants in Boston, it had an increase of 475% restaurant increase in Boston
and
in the
it is
past
true.
Three
no,
years.
And it is true. Honestly, having worked, Lisa and myself have both worked in the restaurant industry for several years. I've worked for probably... maybe 7 or 8 and not, I was never fired. It was always, I moved, it was whatever. But I have seen so many people who very easily would have been the same people who would be going to McDonald's and applying for a job. They have no skills. They have no experience. They have at
have
most
people that don't know
a high
one
school
word
degree.
Of English getting hired.
Yeah. They at most have a high school degree, if that. And anyone, that's what the beauty of the restaurant industry actually is that anyone can be properly trained. Anyone can be properly trained if they have the right mind for it, which that doesn't mean educated. That doesn't mean from a middle class, even lower middle class. It doesn't mean being anything other than willing to learn. That's all that people who own restaurants are looking for.
So let me
is
ask,
people who are willing to learn and willing to work hard.
So let me ask this question. If everything is so rosy and perfect,
And who will learn.
And everything
obviously
isn't rosy and perfect.
Why is anyone still working? Why is anyone still working at McDonald's?
Because they're not willing to put in the effort that it takes to work at a job like Lisa and
no,
I do.
No, that's not true. That is not true.
Because they go there.
They go there, or because they think that that's the only thing they can do, because there are people telling them that.
Because it is the only thing that they can do.
But
because
we're telling you right now that it's not.
The people who are working at McDonald's are at McDonald's for a reason. They've applied everywhere else. They can't get a job anywhere else.
How do you know? How do you know that they weren't just like, whatever, I'll just apply to McDonald's. I'll get a job there right away, and then I don't have to apply anywhere else.
Nobody is going to work for $9 an hour and struggle to survive if they can go get a $15 an hour job, or a job that pays $100 a day in tips.
They will if they don't know that they can do that.
They know that they can do that.
If I went to the local McDonald's down the street here, and I walked in and said, hey, I'm going to hire you because you have great, and trust me, because I know, because I go in the drive-thru, great communication skills. I mean, look at somebody. I had somebody come from Haiti into my restaurant, barely spoke English, became a busser, moved to a host, and is now, with the money that she's paying or getting paid at my restaurant, supplying her for her community college. Like, from not speaking English.
That's the thing. Not saying they could instantly go to being a manager or go to being a weekend high-volume server.
There is this mentality that it's like, okay, I have no skills.
McDonald's, the most you're going to do is advance
the
manager.
Both of you, no, both quiet. Stop.
I was just going to say.
No. As soon as you said the word mentality, you lost the argument. Because the point that you're going to try and make now, which will not fly on this show, is that these people do it to themselves. That they are somehow responsible for the fact that they work at McDonald's.
No. If you let me continue, I would say this is not a personal thing. But there is this societal thing going on and saying, these are the jobs that you go to.
This is what's offered to you. This is what you can do.
This
is the only options you have.
And how many times have we spoke, Derek, on this show and saying, sometimes a college degree means nothing anymore. That you can actually work.
I can attest to that.
You can work your butt off and make something very, very big of yourself, and you don't have student loans. So no, I'm not saying that these people do it to themselves.
No, it's not them doing it to themselves. It's society presenting this to them.
The one thing I know and will tell you reliably about people who are told what they can do by society as a job is that they tell society where to go, and they go and apply for the jobs that they want anyway. Nobody is sitting around saying, oh, I guess McDonald's is my only career option. Mm-hmm. If you're working at McDonald's, there's a reason you're at McDonald's.
Are you really in a position to speak for people that way, though?
Every time I read one of these stories, and Reuters brings in another example of it, and ABC did a phenomenal piece on this a little while back, these people who are in these situations are applying for jobs all the time, constantly, everywhere. And they can't get hired anywhere else.
No, and but I'm not again, saying those that's are not reality, and okay, that doesn't happen, of
all right,
course.
So let's agree, that's reality.
But I'm
reality
saying, but I'm
this
saying an option is, just knowing because of the industry that I'm in, I can tell you there are plenty of jobs in every single city. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm using Boston and only my knowledge of other countries in the United States.
Cities.
Is it different? In different cities. See what Derek does to me when he gets
for
me going?
Some,
I didn't say.
For
guys,
some people.
But I mean, if we're talking about a city
flames
like,
are coming out of Lisa's eyes looking at Derek
know,
right
Detroit,
now. It's great.
Baltimore.
Not Detroit.
Okay.
If you don't have a college degree in Detroit, forget it. You're done.
No.
Everything
that's
happening in Detroit is for the college education.
But this is what I'm saying.
Boston, New York, Seattle, Los Angeles. Those are all cities that I've lived in, all of which I've absolutely had people that could have very easily been working at, like, who would be, who you would think would be working at McDonald's, working in the same restaurant as me. And all, some of them not having a high school education, some of them not coming from...
I'm not saying this has anything to do with education. I'm saying
many coming from what would be considered McDonald's is their only option.
If you are
not taking
I'm
that for an answer.
A societal...
Or McDonald's, where you speak, by the way, we're speaking colloquially saying McDonald's, we're speaking about the fast food industry.
If you are poor, if you live in a city and you are limited in your job opportunities by public transportation, which is the case for a large number of people who are working at these jobs, mm-hmm, so they can't go out to the burbs and go get a job out there, this is the only option they have. It is McDonald's or you don't work at all. Those are your choices. And when that became the choice, because there will never be enough jobs, enough good restaurant jobs to match the population of a city, because we don't have manufacturing jobs in this country anymore. They're gone, which is where low-skilled, undereducated people used to be able to go. Then we have to start paying the McDonald's workers. We got to start paying everybody $20 an hour. That's where it begins. That's the only way that you were going to. That's the only way you're going to restore any kind of economic balance in this country anymore.
We're almost out of time, so we may have to leave this at an agree to disagree kind of.
And I've come up on my numbers as far as we're talking about minimum wage. Yes, $15 doable. When we start getting into the 20s. It is not a job that is intended to be your full-time job.
But when there's no other option, it has to be. All right, we are literally out of time here because Lisa is difficult. So next week, Lisa will be less difficult, and we'll get through the whole show.
Oh, my God.